My name is Mike Morgan.
The title of our message is God's Way of Escape. Our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 14.
Have there been times when you wanted to start all over again? If your answer is no, you have not lived long enough. All of us have made mistakes in the past. If only we would have heeded the warning signs, listened to wise counsel, or learned from the mistakes of others. One thing is for sure, God made a way of escape for us to avoid the wrong decision, heartache, and pain. For whatever reason, we chose not to take it. This morning, we will discuss the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and show that God has always made a way of escape for man to avoid sin. In order to understand 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we must keep in mind the situation in Corinth. The city was exceedingly wicked and filled with idolatry. Worldly people sought out Corinth because it was so sinful. The temple of Aphrodite, the goddess of love, was located in Corinth. It had 1,000 sacred priestesses who practiced their religion in the city at night. The church in Corinth was having a problem with pagan temple worship because of their lack of knowledge. Worldliness crept into the church in Corinth. Broad-mindedness led to the toleration of sin. Paul did not want the church in Corinth to be ignorant or unaware of the fact that Israel was delivered from Egyptian bondage. A cloud led them by day to protect them from the heat of the sun, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light. God made ample provisions for them, bread from heaven and water from a rock. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Christ was the source of their physical and spiritual needs, which proves two things. First, the pre-existence of Christ, John chapter 1, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. And second, Christ was with his people under the old covenant as well as today. Through Moses, God gave Israel the Ten Commandments. When followed, these statutes and commandments would provide a way to avoid idolatry and sin. In spite of all that God had done, with most of them, God was not well pleased. Beginning in verse 6, Paul gives the reason for their downfall. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil or worthless things, as they also lusted. The word lust means to set the heart on, or to superimpose in time, place, or order. In Numbers chapter 11, Israel remembered the fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and the garlic they freely ate while in Egyptian bondage. They cried out for meat. While the quail was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. This is a perpetual warning against the indulgence of the flesh. And do not become idolaters as some of them. This is a reference to the sin of making the golden calf. The people did not intend for the calf to take the place of God, but used it as a means of worshiping God. Instead of listening to God and walking by faith when Moses was out of sight, the people crafted an idol and then sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. The word play refers to the erotic dances which occurred at heathen festivals. Is it a sin today to eat and drink and play as they did? verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Israel was guilty of fornication with the daughters of Moab, and thus led into idolatry. This is held up as a warning for Christians to avoid evil associations. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. In Numbers chapter 21, verse 5, the children of Israel spoke against God and against Moses, saying, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our souls loathes this worthless bread. What bread were they talking about? Manna from heaven. When difficulties presented themselves in the wilderness, the Israelites tried God's patience by rebellion, murmuring, impatience, and dissatisfaction with His provisions. The Corinthians tried the Lord when they exposed themselves to temptations in idol temples. Can we be guilty of trying God's patience without thinking about it? Whenever we see how far we can go without falling over the cliff of sin, we are trying the Lord. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. In Numbers chapter 14, the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. It was not possible for them to die in the land of Egypt. But God saw to it that those 20 years of age and above died in the wilderness. We need to be careful not to grumble about things that are in the hands of God. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages has come. Old Testament history is designed to teach New Testament Christians and non-Christians great lessons. Here's one great lesson that we must learn. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. It is absolutely true that those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, that doesn't bother me. I would never be tempted by that. When one feels most confident in himself, then there is great danger that he will be presumptuous and commit the greatest sin. When we rely upon our own strength, rather than recognizing our need for God and dependence on His Word, we are one step away from apostasy. To encourage faithfulness, Paul assures Christians that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Satan only has three tricks in his bag: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. This winning combination caused the first man and woman to stumble, and every man and woman who came after them. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Satan said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. A miracle to bring his fast to an end would have reflected upon his absolute trust in God. By quoting Moses' admonition to the Israelites in the wilderness, Jesus acknowledged his complete trust and dependence on the Father. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. The protection that God affords to the faithful is not without conditions. Jesus recognized that such provocation of God is sin, and he would not submit his Father to a frivolous test. Satan said to Jesus, fall down and worship me. The temptation was for Christ to forego suffering, both the physical torture for which he was marked and the spiritual agony that he would endure. Jesus would not be discouraged from fulfilling the will of his Father, even though it put him through unimaginable suffering. Praise be to God that Jesus never sinned. He never yielded to temptation. Temptation comes to all men to test and prove them and show their faithfulness to enter that eternal kingdom and stand before God dressed in white. Paul reminds us that these three temptations are not superhuman, but such as man has resisted in the past and we can resist today. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Not that God would keep them without any effort on their part. Not that God would secure them if they plunged themselves voluntarily into the temptation, but if they used the proper precaution to avoid it, if they resist temptation, if they sought Him and depended upon His promises, then He would certainly perform His part of the covenant. Using Jesus as our perfect example, when faced with temptation and sin, we must rely upon the Word of God to teach us. We must dedicate ourselves beforehand to be completely subject to the will of God, because He always has our good in mind. But with the temptation, we'll also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. J.W. Shepherd said, "We have in this verse the clearest exposition in the Scriptures of man's free will in relation to God's overruling power. God makes an open door, but then man must walk in it." Note the word temptation. This word has two meanings. First, it may be in the form of one being tested. Remember when God tested Abraham, or tempted Abraham. The idea is a test. In every instance where God may use an event to test our faith, Satan may also use the same event to solicit us to do wrong or commit sin. Think about living in Corinth. Everywhere you turn was pagan worship, idolatry, and immorality. Satan was using this to solicit the church in Corinth to become involved in it. That's exactly what Satan did in the Old Testament. He used Balaam to incite Israel to become involved with idolatrous people. We live in a world where Satan is using every avenue to solicit man to commit sin. Or, see how close we can get to sin without violating God's word. Television programs are designed to incite lust. Look at all the ads about drinking and gambling. In the midst of Satan's solicitation, God has made a way for us to resist temptation and avoid sin. God's way of escape is found in verse 14. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry." How do we resist the filth and wickedness of this world? Flee from it. Run in the opposite direction like Joseph did when seduced by Potiphar's wife. Don't take the second look at it like David did. Do not place yourself in a situation where you will become involved in it. Let's look at an example in the Old Testament where God provided a way of escape. In Genesis chapter 19, Lot went down to Sodom. The angel tells him that the city is going to be destroyed and says, "Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plains. Escape to the mountains not escape. Why? Because she did not follow God's direction to flee and don't look back. Lot's wife violated 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. When we are confronted with temptation and sin, let us remember that we don't have to give in. The devil can't make us do it. God has made a way of escape. In order to obey the gospel, one must repent of their sins. Thayer defines repentance this way: the change of mind of those who have become to abhor their error and misdeeds, and have determined to enter upon a better course of life. Repentance involves more than mere sorrow for wrong acts. Godly repentance, which leads to salvation, includes a willful decision to forsake sins and live for Jesus. Through a study of God's Word, we have identified areas in our lives that are contrary to His will. After conversions, Christians understand that they must abstain from malice, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, filthy communication, and the like. The works of the flesh must be replaced with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In regard to living a Christ-like life, the world speaks evil of us for not running with them in the same flood of dissipation. How far should we go to avoid sin? Knowing the sinfulness of sin and what it costs the Father to redeem man, knowing that the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience whose sins are not covered by the blood of Christ, and not wanting to miss heaven, we should do whatever it takes to live a Christ-like life. For some of us, that may mean looking in the opposite direction when we're walking down the street, or turning off the TV. For others, it may be refusing to walk down a certain aisle in the grocery store, or separating ourselves from ungodly people. The world considers the Christian who takes the extreme position on sin out of their minds. God help us to teach our children that despite what the world says, that sin is to be avoided at all cost. In the ordinary affairs of life, God will not allow us to be placed in a situation where we will be unable to deal with it. This was true of Israel in the Old Testament. If they patterned their lives after His word, everything would have turned out all right. In spite of all the wickedness in Corinth, God had made provisions for them to live a Christ-like life and avoid sin. Would it not have been foolish for God to send Paul down to preach the gospel in Corinth, and because of the immorality and paganism of the city, there was no way they could avoid it or say no to it? The fact that Paul preached the gospel opened the door for them to say no to sin and take God's way of escape. My friends, the same thing is true with us. What about times when we do give in to sin? God has made a way of escape for us to have those sins forgiven. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The same same Lord directs our affairs that ordered theirs. If we sin as they did, we also must expect to be punished and excluded from His favor and from heaven. But if we trust and obey His word, sin and temptation cannot molest